Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. We'd like to welcome you and hope that you're having a blessed day. You know, there's always winter issues at this particular time, weather issues at this particular time. So if you're not experiencing any too severe, well, then we thank Allah and thank God and say that we are truly blessed. And even if we are experiencing them, we're truly blessed. You know, that's the one thing that I think we have to really be clear about is that the Creator or God or Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever of those choices that you choose, Allah, you know, there's only one God. So we get it confused sometimes when someone doesn't call on the God that we think we know. Well, see, that gets put in perspective when there's only one God. So he doesn't respond to whether you call him Allah or God. He responds to the sincerity in your voice, in your heart, in your head, and the purity of intent is there. See, those two things get you and your voice heard. Not you know, that's not God. It's not my God. Your God is my God and my God is your God. Because there's only one God. So when you get that clear in your mind, a lot of the interfaith conversations will get minimized because there's no debate about that in those areas. And you can start out with a nice topic and really go into it and see how it's gave you expression in your life. You know, how it's gave you the abilities that you have and the blessings that you receive and the future that you look forward to. So that's kind of how we want to start. We want to start with understanding that we live in an information age. I originally wanted to talk about is culture the culprit? As I did my research right toward the end there, I realized that the one that serves what I'm trying to really say from some of the literature that I've written is information. It's information that influences us to do many different things. But it's really got into my head and my heart, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before I get started, on that, let me acknowledge that you are listening to El Islam-based conversations where we do not, on purpose, if at all possible, insult your intelligence or waste your time. I'm sure that some people may think that doesn't happen sometimes when we're talking, and I'm not trying to make that happen as much as I'm trying to have credibility, have your trust, have your awareness of my intentions verbally stated. I'm not looking for a fan club. I'm not looking for anything other than that hopefully Allah is using me as a vessel to talk to those of you who are on, and that will be Allah's job to continue your journey. I'm trying to do my part along the way on the journey to share the little bit that I know and share it in a way where I think you can grasp it, you can relate to it. It may be something that's happened specifically in your life right now. You may know somebody who's going through this, that, and the other. Because these are very challenging times. Life is always challenging. I mean, there's going to be the toil and the struggle and the decision making, the turning points in our life, you know, getting older, you know, it's something that losing a loved one. These are things that go on in your life, you know, getting a divorce, getting married. So the way we talk about it sometimes, it's like, you know, this is easy. No, this is not easy. It wasn't intended to be easy. Now, the easy that we might be referring to is that when we've conformed and we've been informed and it causes us to perform a certain way. Now we're on the same track. Now we're talking about how things really work. And that it's not easy to get to that level to where all the things that I mentioned are online, in sync, and operative at the same time. You know, I got information in one of our classes, I think it was the Saturday class or the Sunday class, that I didn't fully understand. I had heard inferences made about it, that we have to sort of be as clear about the Arabic, what it says, but we also have to be equally clear that the translation is doing justice to the Arabic. And there's some good intention, well-intended individuals who have translated or attempted to translate the Quran in a way that other races and other non-speaking Arabic people can read it. And sometimes, as Imam Muhammad has stated to us, and maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't hear it, excuse me, is that the challenge becomes how well I am in my Arabic studies and how well I am in the language that I'm trying to interpret it in. Let's just say English. So if I'm well-rounded and am studious and been to El Aqsa and been to all those classes and know the Arabic and I've used the Arabic to give meaning to the Arabic, but I can't say the same about my English. So there's a little bit of a deficit. There's a little bit of a challenge. Okay? And so when we go along like we're doing now, trying to address these challenges, trying to use more English than Arabic, because let's face it, we're not an Arabic-speaking community. And I mean that the majority is not. We know a few words here and a few words there. We get some interpretations and translations that are good and not some that are not so good. We get some people thinking that because the hadith appears to be clearer, it's better than the Arabic in the Quran. No, it helps you with the Arabic in the Quran, and it gives it sets the guessing game out. It takes the guessing game away. This is what Allah is saying. This is why he's saying it that way, because it's an entity that's unseen, it's abstract. So he's given symbols and he's giving words that help to help us and aid us in our striving to know what Allah is saying when he said this. So not only will we have his word, but we'll get his will, see? And you know, we know will is also when you there is something in the will and you get an inheritance. Well, that's the same thing with the language. But if the words are not giving birth to the will and giving us the ability to do the work and keeping us in the way, on the way, on the straight path, you know, there's so many distractions nowadays. I think if you look around and if we really knew, and I think that's what really frustrates a lot of people. They say, man, it's just hell is more abundant than righteousness. And that's true. But when you're serving God, excuse me, when you're serving the Creator and you're reading and studying His Word to gain His way and His will, it takes, for me, and I think some of you will agree, it takes some of the work out of it. It takes some of the strain out of it. It takes some of the frustration out of it. It takes some of the fear out of it, and it replaces it with hope and belief. I found that to be true. And I think that many of you, or some of you, or maybe all of you, have found it one way or another to be true. That if you just do what you're supposed to do, Allah not only will help you do it, but He's already got it in place. It's already there waiting. Now, when I talk like that, you can't think some like a trip or a journey or a ride or just a bus drive away or a car. No, we're not talking about that kind of transportation. We're not talking about that kind of location. We're not talking about that kind of destination. When we say journey, we're not talking about physically walking. We're talking about the trials and the tribulations and the newfound knowledge and getting rid of some of the old knowledge, unlearning stuff, you know? Can you imagine? Not can you imagine. Here's an example of what took place. What history tells us about, I won't say. Because we weren't there, but obviously something similar to this took place, and it caused change. But it caused, quote unquote, the old heads, or the people who thought they had the latest and the greatest wisdom, and they cherished it like that, and they nourished it like that, and they guarded it like that, and some or many are coming to. Understanding that, no, it doesn't work like that. What Allah has is always evolving. It's getting better. It's getting good, better, best. And if you listen carefully, it's saying to you and I, the best is yet to come. So while we're reading and seeing these cars and all these wonderful technological things, the best is yet to come. Where? What can be one thing that can be deducted from that? That makes us talk like that and makes us believe like that. Because two things for me anyway, and you can add yours on later or think about it and fill in the blank for yourself. The fact that it feels like yesterday, we were doing certain things. Let's just talk about with the telephone. You know. There were operators. There was a cord. There was things that would ring with your finger and ring, you know, and the phone was heavy and, you know, all those things that it had, you know, and you couldn't call out the long distance calls they get too long, get too much, you had to pay, you know, so, but that's went away to be replaced. Did the majority of us think that it would? Were we sitting around, man, I'm going to get these phones fixed up so we can do this and do that? Now, you might have thought about it like that. But who knew? And I have to bear witness. This is, we're not Christians. I mean, Catholic, but I bear witness. I didn't know. I never had any idea. I was busy, so caught up in the present stuff that I thought was just unbelievably feeling blessed because it's happening in my lifetime. And I know that's the way many of us feel. We didn't see it coming. What it came with is did and do we have the ability to change? Are we, man, the good old days, I sure missed that, man. It was great, man. This was simple. Common sense was just so prevalent, man. People are stupid nowadays. They do stupid stuff, okay? But what about all the advances? What about what's not being done because they realized it wasn't the thing to do, but like lobotomies, and when you got an operation, you know, they had to put it back together, put you back together, and a big old scar on your body where they cut you open and then sewed you back up together and got the scar where they opened you and the scar where they sewed it back together, stitches, I think they called it. Well, not today. You know, they can do things, go in and see it from some view on the outside and fix what's on the inside, pull the holes or whatever is out, and no scars hardly. Just a little whatever. And then, you know, I had about 2 years ago an operation, and they were telling me, okay, you won't see any stitches, you know. But there are some sutures or that took place on the inside, and they have to get well. Stitches, they won't show any real cut and, you know, like they used to do, you know. It's like that. And then because of that, you can go and get an operation and be back at home the next day, outpatient type of thing. That's what they say. And you look at the injuries that are happening to people, but they normally would take weeks, months, sometimes years, 2 or 3 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. Now, what's going on? Some of it, they just didn't know how to help the body heal that quick. Some of it is just that we don't really give credit to the body like we should, which is that the body performs in intelligent ways. And we're not our body. See? So what gets initiated is that we decide to go and see what this pain is all about. We decide that the injury we find out, we go get the diagnosis, and then we find out that we're going to need this, we're going to need that, and we're ready to go back to the doctor and get that done or performed or whatever. Or that medicine might be given to us. They may prescribe something. So this is the way that it is. This is the learning process that many people don't know, so they don't take care of their body. And then they get in trouble as a result, or we get in trouble as a result. So you might say, well, what does all this got to do with what you're going to talk about? It has everything to do with what I'm going to talk about, because that's what's going on right now. We are exchanging information or knowledge. So I can sound very articulate and very intelligent about what I'm talking about because I've read it, I've comprehended it to a certain degree, and I feel comfortable sharing it. But with the understanding that there is someone who knows more about it than I do. And then there is someone that probably, as you keep moving down the line, knows more about than that person. Because two things, it's hard to know it all. And it's so much to know that the little bit that we do know is not even close to what there is to know. So stop and think about that now. You hear the Creator telling us or hinting to us about that. He says, I'm the Lord of the heavens and the earth. That lowly level that we're born into and the things that surround the description of the birth to where we get to, well, Allah says we are this, that, and the other, we all will have to be patient and grow through the baby, child, adult. And even when we do go through those stages, sometimes we get stuck on one stage because the information doesn't get there. You know, just an example, well, you know, you have one girl in the house with four boys, which is very likely that girl is going to be a tomboy because of the rough and tumbleness that was going on with the brothers that she had. And she took on to the thing, got tired of them beating up or whatever, or showing up or whatever. So she began to take on like it. Now, the challenge is going to be, you know, if she's not demure and soft and real feminine like a lot of men want the woman to be, but basically a good woman, good morals, good, you know, just intelligent, whatever, but she's a tomboy. Well, we go back and look at that. How did she become a tomboy? Because she was around brothers and males, and she had a different relationship with males. She wasn't like in my family. My wife was the only female. It was me and my five sons. So I didn't see that particular phenomenon until I don't know how long we've been married, and I realized. I'm sorry. Let me correct that. It took getting married that long for 30-some-odd years and then getting a divorce to look back and unpack all of that and see what I could have did better and what I could have did and what I didn't, you know, whatever, whatever. And there's many things when you look back, that's why they say hindsight is 20/20. You'll see those things. Now, the challenge becomes when and if you can correct it. You can correct it in yourself because you realize that, wow, I can't even imagine what it was like being the only female in the house. And then having to, you know, get to know these different voices and personalities and whatever. And sometimes it'll happen. The children or the baby is getting all the attention and the husband or the wife gets jealous. And not only do they can't get jealous, but they can stay jealous. They can stay having to compete with the daddy's little girl and the mama's boy. And I'm laughing about it, but it's not funny. Because they can be a very disruptive force in the marriage or in the family composition. If you were the favorite, the other people, as they wake up, not wake up in the morning after sleeping, as they wake up and see preference to one over the other, double standards. So what we're doing now, hopefully, is equipping you with insight and information to see some of the maybe less talked about, but yet and still very challenging situations. And now that we've gotten older, we look back, oh, that's why. Oh, I never thought about that. See, well, one reason sometimes you never had a reason to think about that. And it went on and it got to where you got to be a certain age and you stopped thinking about it. You said, I'm just going to be me, and if they can't handle that, well, you know, sorry about that. Shame on them. But the real blessing comes when you can know yourself and be yourself and be your best self, and you can get empowered with that formula to where people don't label you or define you in some negative way because you've been that particular way has been described was the description. So next thing you know, you're telling it to yourself. There was a lady at work. That's what she was doing. She had she is a coach for the junior varsity girls team. And she was telling me that she had to learn from one of her players that there was going to be a game tomorrow, therefore they need to be practicing today. And as she was telling me, you know, how shocked she was and how in a rush she was, she told me why she thought she had dropped the ball like that. And, you know, it's a derogatory term, so I'm not going to say it, but it basically ended up because I'm stupid. Okay. And so you could hear her talking, but you could hear other people's voice in there. Somebody said, you know, that you have putting one foot in front of the other, that if anything could go wrong, you're going to make sure it will. And on and on and on. And just think about it now. Stop and think about it. 2 months of hearing that is terrible. But 12, 13, 14 years? Still to this day they call you Pookie or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's not good. That's not good for growth. That's not good for self-esteem. That's not good. But how many people did become influenced by these nicknames or seeing the difference between how I was treated and other people was treated? My children woke me up very early to the way they felt about what was being done and not be done in their house. Because what they did, they had friends. We went on to the friend's house, and, you know, the outspoken one, he just came and told me he likes it better over there than he does at home. because they have more fun. Their father lets them do A, B, C, and D. So after I got the little sting that it caused, and it did, I replied, you know, this is a big world. Once you get older, hopefully you will appreciate the way you're being raised and some of the things that we do and don't do. And you'll thank God, not me, thank God, you know, that you didn't get into those harmful influences at all or that early to where they become habits, bad habits. And you get told a story or a narrative or led down the road with a tradition that just, it doesn't hold up. It has illogical aspects about it, meaning it won't hold up to a rational examination or all the way to the conclusion, all the way to the end. It'll show defects. It'll show corruption. It'll show devilishness in it. When you look at some of the things that we, like the commercials that we look at, some of them will absolutely have us laughing. Object of making a commercial that nonsensical to sell the product. Why not educate me about the benefits and the features and the price and the ingredients and all that? Why tell me a narrative or a story to make me laugh to get my attention about the product and end up, what, interested enough to go buy it, to go check it out, to go whatever. But it's something that I mentioned a couple of programs back. It's all a part of, and what still remains to be going on, the dumbing down of America. They said the average commercial is geared for somebody possibly, and that's a stretch a little bit, in the 10th grade. They don't even give us credit for giving a good commercial that's very informative, very much got the meat and potatoes there. And you come away and say, yeah, you know what? They got my interest. I want to go buy, or I want to go and test drive, or I want to go and see if it's like what they say. Because I feel so informed. I feel like this is just what the doctor ordered. I feel like this is the blessing that's going to help me solve that problem with whatever. But if you come away scratching your head or just laughing or being entertained, you know the character's name, like those two women, one on Progressive and one on, I think it's AT&T or something, I'm not sure. But you know their name, it's like a household name. That's so-and-so from the commercial. And when something happens in her personal life or his personal life, you say, oh, wow, you know, did you see where so-and-so? The guy from Subway, pedophile, overweight, had problems with his weight, felt intimidated by being with the opposite sex because he was feeling like he's going to get rejected. So he fixed that problem by not having to deal with him. He had set up a situation where he would be in control, have the power. So don't you think a lot of people are thinking like that now? Because it has, not only has it risen, but it's on the rise. And there are people who see that one thing, and once they see that and they see the amount, they're all in. They'll sell you whatever you want of that nature to get paid, to get money, to get whatever. Why is that more prevalent now? Is it because they got the apparatuses to find this going on? Yeah. But my theory is that onslaught of the social media and social media changing, where they'll tell you this is PG, PG-13, TV-14, TV-MA, and still saying, you know what, we're gonna get it down to PG or whatever. It doesn't have to have all that violence and sex and everything to be entertaining or to get a market or to get an audience. But they've already said it. It's already in place. It's not going to change. We have to change our environment and make sure that people know they're doing it over there, but we're not doing that over here. you might want to come and look at what we got and check it out and see if you might want to be a part of that, because it causes less problems. You don't see the problem immediately, but you see it later on. And guess what? It's a little late in the game. Now, it's not impossible to turn things around, because look at me, look at you. We didn't used to be this way. We got something to help us do that. But there's a lot of lost time while you're struggling to find yourself, get to know yourself, get to like yourself, get to expressing yourself, get to doing what you really were sent here to do. We only have so much time. That becomes a challenge. Because when you wake up and you come alive, or we wake up and we come alive, we see this big old world and we say, oh my God, there's so much going on that I don't know about, or I didn't know about because I was stuck here. Not stuck here, but I didn't travel. I didn't get a chance to travel. I didn't even know how valuable it was. I go over there, man, a foreign language and this, that. Ooh, wow. I started traveling when I was in the military at 17. I didn't know I had fallen in love with it until I became a Muslim. To expand your horizons, to visit other countries, to see how they do, to see what they got and what they don't have, to see a trip to the in the water, and you see the clear blue water, green water with corals that they've done whatever to change the water, and you see that it just looks healthy. It looks like it's, you know, clean, to just get you clean, and you want to, you know, take the shower or whatever. Think maybe it has something to do with the fact that we're 75% water. And to be in the water, to get in the water, and some of the symbols that come to us via scripture are talking about the water, how it ripples when you throw the rock out there and it just ripples. So what can we take away from that? That even though it's on the outer surface, it's affecting it underneath that surface. And if you have enough power to get it going, it can just ripple almost all the way across to the earth side or the dirt side. So all of these are signs that allow, shows us with a simple rock, simple game, or simple whatever. Could it be saying you can progress even though you get, or how you progress, there's a limit to what you're going to be able to do that way. So you have to have emotional intelligence, because sometimes you can be encumbered or delayed or whatever because you're up in our emotions. We can't think straight. We can't see straight. We can't make deductions. We can't make decisions. Because we're just full of the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the whatever. And it robs us of our ability to see a decision or make a decision and decide it wasn't a good decision and don't go on this blame the game campaign. Take that time to sit down and think things through and come up upon a solving solution to the problem. We will see why they're talking about it as a field of information. It's a strategy. Algorithms, that's the scientific name. They are very fashionable, but they also are the way that people go to solve the problem. The QR code, they solve the problem. Or, well, I need it. You just put the phone there, click it, and you get the information that you couldn't get because you weren't there. Or whoa, right there. It comes right up. The phone does it. Boom. They're compatible. They get you the message, and other people, they're making it a part of the business. Modern times is being a part of the business. So that's life possibly moving on without us. Because if we're not careful, stuck on the problems and how many they are and how this one is getting me down, and you can't get past the prescription to give the diagnosis, to get the solution, you know? So that gets hindered and time-consuming because we don't know how to look at it and ascertain what needs to be done. And then make the decision and live with it. I made a decision today that I'm rethinking a little bit because it's kind of one side. I got to think about other people in my family that are going to be impacted by this. What's it going to do? I'm ready to do whatever, but I got to do a better job of saying, okay, so what's going to happen with this, that, and the other? And I got to listen to my head and my heart because I'm going to need the courage to maybe do and get that from my heart. But what to do, when to do, how to do, what to say, it's going to come from my head. Now, what does that mean? I have got to have gotten rid of some of the emotion and some of the maybe the pain or the hurt that I'm experiencing so I can, you know, like I said, decisions get clouded up. Or I had what I thought was a decision and it got washed away. It got so emotional, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know what I really made up my mind to do, because right now I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. And that's what too much emotion will do. Too much of the past can rob us of our future. And we can do it to our own self by saying something that we think has solved the problem. One of those things is, we talked about it before, good example, so I talk about it again. Does it say, tie your camel and then trust in Allah? Or does it say, trust in Allah and then tie your camel? For years, I thought it was, and it made sense. The logic was there. I thought it was trust in Allah and then tie your camel. But it's trust, tie your camel and then trust in Allah. Exhaust everything you can to do and solve the problem. And then know for a surety if the problem doesn't go away, turn to what Allah says or turn to Allah. But Allah gives you the ability to solve problems, and we maintain that free will and also capability by being allowed to fix the problem, solve the problem, then give the praise to Allah for helping us to solve the problem. Don't think you got what you got on your own. We have to look at, okay, I was a bleeding heart. I was emotional mess, you know, all of those things. And like we talked before, since we're 75% water, we water up, we tear up. There was a lot of people in the football game last night that lost. They were crying, sorrow. But there were some people who, first year or 2 years they've been there and they're getting ready to head, maybe possibly to the Super Bowl, well, they're tearing up too. But tears of joy. Same tears, same person, different reason. I'm pausing because that's a possibility. So what we have to do is not be afraid that the negative is going to rule. So we give it this moment. I was told that today because I was making a little complaint about the weather, because I'm like a lot of, maybe some of y'all are, when it gets cold, I get cold. It's hard for me to get warm. So therefore, I really don't like cold. And I'm talking a little old baby cold in North Carolina here. You don't really get Chicago cold or New York cold or Detroit cold or Cleveland cold. It doesn't get cold like those areas. But it gets cold enough because I'm climatized, and it gets bothersome enough because I just, the cold, it just seems to be more of a fact than the sun. I don't mind sweating. I don't mind. I mean, I was in Arizona. It was 122 sometimes, but it was a dry heat. That's another thing. We're talking about information. We're talking about knowledge. that was some knowledge that you needed. And I realized it once I came to Raleigh, once I came to North Carolina. Because the humidity is different. You perspire to the point of being drenched, like you just dumped in the water and whatnot. And I don't feel good sometimes unless I go home and take a shower. So what did that? Same sun, different location. See? So when that happens, it requires us to be what? A little more flexible. You know, we would decide, okay, but I wouldn't be here. My preference is not to be here in North Carolina. Nowhere in the South did I really even think about going to be. I didn't feel like I could handle it. You know, I didn't want to handle it. I didn't want to have to handle it. But circumstances led me here, marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what I didn't realize about myself is that I'm a people person. So therefore, I didn't have as much problem with the people here. And you add the fact that I'm still a learning student, studying Muslim. Indeed, to be more specific, studying under the leadership and Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, his tafsir, his approach, his methodology as it relates to being a Muslim and the Muslim life, having the general nature to get the wisdom to be able to actually live the life so you're a walking example of what it's supposed to be. You have access to what we just talked about, the abilities to solve the problems, to address things in life that others haven't done. They get frustrated, they get emotional, they take it personal. When we really begin to understand, it's not necessary. Allah said, He's promised that He's going to give us what we need to start the process, to get, we get bogged down in the middle of it, and to end it if we not demise, we grow out of. So that means there's another reality that we're in that we weren't in prior to that. There's just some things that I did at 25 that I wouldn't even think about doing at 55 or 65 or 75. You know, so we go back. Can we find anything to suggest why and how that can happen? One of them is that the Hadith says that Prophet Muhammad was asked about his jinn, and he said he had made his jinn become a Muslim. It doesn't bother him like it bothers maybe people who haven't done that. Observation and a solution at the same time. It makes you think, it's okay, well, have I done that? Do I do that? Or do I just go with the flow, roll with the punches? You know, it's easier that way. But Allah says, I have not put these things out here for you to get defeated by them. You know? My plan was it strengthening you, educating, forcing you to get educated to know, and then to do, and then to help others do. You know, so we see glimpses of it in the Bible. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. So if you follow that to the Quran, you'll see something clearer, stronger, wider, deeper. You know, we say da'wah, that you know, we perform da'wah, we were leading by example. This is the kind of information that gives us the ammunition and the admonition to go forth with confidence. You know, proceed not with caution, proceed with confidence. The world is in the dark. It's troublesome times. It's a lot of hell out there. It's a lot of hell and a lot of people out there. You know, I see people driving at a speedy rate to get to some place, ignoring others that are driving in the road with them, risking a possible accident that damaged themselves and maybe tear up their vehicle, all in the name of get out of my way. I got places to go and things to do. and I will run over you and your little car, or you, you know, run past your car, thinking it's out there. I see it. I mean, I know you see it too, especially if you're in the big city. So what do we do? Don't drive. Don't go out at 5. Don't go out at in the morning, early mornings. Find a route to where they're not doing that. No. We have to get in a position to know that it's happening, why it's happening, what we can do to change it or change the people who are doing it. So, you know, that's what I'm saying, how this problem, these problems that we look at, these challenges that we see, they become more manageable. They're saying it on the commercials today. If you listen, then they're listening, they're plotting, they're scheming, and they're realizing language is important. They knew in the beginning, especially the ones who are the elitists in their thinking, the ones who are really controlling the society to do devilish things. They already know that. And that that becomes the fact that, you know, when you're not around or influenced by that, you can begin to turn on your light, get your house in order, and you're less impacted and affected by what's going on in the world today. And some of these people who do have a lack of patience or got a big old truck and they feel powerful, they feel just drunk and with my truck's bigger than yours, and, you know, I have to drive fast and you got to get out of my way, you know. I got places to go and things to see, like I said before, and you don't, obviously, because you're cramping my style by holding me back, going 55 or 60, going to the speed limit. You can see it on the behavior of the people. It's very apparent that they disregard the speed limit and the fact that you're out there causing danger to other people by speeding. The truck is not driving. You're not driving the truck. The truck is driving you. You're not driving the car. The car is driving you. And your mind is not on being safe, keeping proper distance, ready to respond if something happens unexpected. You're not. You're not ready. We're not ready. So some accidents that could be avoided because you got enough time to hit your brakes. You got enough time to develop a strategy. Okay, woo, let's come in, turn, woo, avoid, woo, kick, accelerate, slow, pull over, you know, all that. But if we're caught up in the same problem, where we're maybe not driving fast, but we got something else on our mind other than driving, you know, they got the car where you can drive it and just let the wheel go. It'll go. Keep you on the road. Keep you going where you need to go. But how much does it cost? How much does it cost to buy it and get the luxury car that does it? And they'll finally put it on every car, those kind of cars. But like I said, the price is going to go up. And here's the other aha moment you're going to have. Not only is the price going to go up to buy it, the price is going to go up to fix it. And not only is it going to need fixing, they already give it such a life. After X amount of years, it's automatically going to need to be repaired or need to be replaced. That's doing business with the bottom line in mind. They're talking about it. Some business heads are explaining to people the worst decision you can make is decisions that are made based on money. More of it, how I can get it, how fast I can get it, what's going to slow it down. I sell products. Products that last, that are good. So sometimes I have had my mind say, wow, that's not good for business. It is good for business. Products that work and last and are affordable, that's good for business. What's not good for business is I want to speed the process up. I want get people to buy your product. Don't have to sell it and, you know, just get desperate and just, you know, tell them it'll do this. And, you know, they do that on the TV. When they get through telling you about whatever that is that they're trying to sell you, life is great. It's wonderful. And they got some other people on there bearing witness. They just are smiling, just happy. Problems going away because they're taking, or they doing whatever. Now, you can believe that. Some of it's true, but most of it's hype. It's not true. It's not how you get well. It's not how you make yourself feel good. It's not how life is, has you going through your moods and emotions and whatnot. That's their version. That's what they're selling. Tells us in his scripture the value and the benefit that comes from the truth. They put it together, the light of truth. And you just in the morning get some of the benefits that the light causes and benefiting other things that we don't even know. That vitamin D, we've been told about that the sunlight, those rays, there's all those scientific names that they give to what it does. It's necessary for us here on Earth. It does this and it does that. We know it causes growth and this. When those starts to budding out, we know that the sun has a great deal to do with that. The rain has a great deal to do with that. 773, I see you. I'm coming to you. So when we get this kind of education, it will help us in almost significant situations. Now, people might question, well, why you got to make everything rhyme? I don't. I wasn't even trying to make that rhyme. When it came in my turn, I started to say something, I thought I'm not going to make it rhyme. But what I do and give myself permission to, if it does rhyme, people tend to retain it. He said, ooh, and it was like three words. But it's what? A mouthful. When you can remember it and say, oh, and that's what applies. That's why scripture says, and one of the symbols for truth is light. Because when the light's on, this can happen. But when the light's not on, it can't happen. Oh, so I, when it comes on and it's not talking about the light, it's talking about enlightenment. Oh, I can just go with the ease and empower, enlighten, and I can be an example for each and every situation that I find myself in. Man, so what happened there? Was that me? No, that was the resources being used by me. Okay, so I'll give 773 a chance to say what they have to say about it. Question or comment?
Thank you so much for being you, Brother Pasha. That you said so much. I was trying to take as many notes as I don't do shorthand, but I do write fast, and I do have an opportunity to hear the replay. But the statement that you made, the value and benefit for truth when you educate yourself, everything will work, and that is the truth. And I just want to say that initially when you started out and you was talking about, I don't know if I'm saying the right words, but acknowledgement. I think people acknowledge people on a regular basis when they're saying something that really resonates with their soul. And they're actually acknowledging appreciation for that. A lot of us, in our growth and our development, we didn't have these type of communications and conversation that you bring into this line. And when we hear it, it resonates with our soul because our soul knows and it engages in that and it takes it on and it owns it. You know, I mean, you just say so much, you know, it's like old time conversation, you know, it's like the mother, father, family conversation. And it fills in so many missing blanks. It just really does that. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And when I acknowledge you, it's because what you say so resonates with my spirit. And it's not, I don't take it on just for myself. I take it on to share it with others. Because you can have a conversation or communicate with a person. You can tell that there's something missing. And if Allah bless you to be able to be the instrument or the vehicle that could help that person along the way because you're loving for your brother, sister, what you love for yourself, they don't just have to be Muslims. They all are Allah's creation, all his creation. So I get passionate about, you know, when I listen because I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm evolving. And a lot of us come from, like you said, the journeys in our life. And we don't always, what is it? So sometimes we can be heavily bound and earthly no good.
Right.
We don't have that balance because we don't have that balance. And sometimes,
right.
sometimes people come from families where they are fortunate to have a congruency there. And some come from dysfunctional families. So if you dysfunctional, you're not going to have that intellectual level where you can navigate yourself around life. You're going to be hitting and missing,
right.
So when Allah bless you to come into that type of environment, you embrace it and take hold to it. So I just say I appreciate it. And I'm going to send you a text. I wanted to send out some notices for your show, but I want to run it by you first. Because
okay.
I think it is imperative that this message get out, not just for the Muslim community, but the overall community, because it's a message for everybody. It's a message for everybody. So I will text that to you, get your approval, and then I'll be sending it out. And then maybe at some point we can get flyers, you know, in different avenues. But what the Lord bless you with is so imperative that it be shared just beyond this line. So thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. You know, sometimes we think, you know, this truth that we're talking about has to come from scripture and the Quran, and we seek to find those words, and we should. We absolutely should. But when someone is speaking truth or trying to share truthfully what's going on with them or how they're impacted, that's truth too. It's more factual than what we're talking about, and it's not divine truth, but it's they're really sincerely saying something about whatever. So I know, and I don't get tipsy, and when I hear someone, I try not to get tipsy, I put it like that. We're human beings, okay? That's another thing. I don't want to talk about that in a few minutes, but that they're telling you something about yourself that's true. Or you're trying to come across, like I said, I don't tell people insult their intelligence or waste their time for nothing. I'm trying to make sure I have an outline in front of me that will help me cover what I think Allah wants me to cover. It's just that simple. I don't know who's going to be in the audience, so how can I be, you know, people say, I don't know what to really, because I was going to do the little culture thing and then information and its ability to improve us, to inform us, you know, to nurture in us the intelligence that we need to be intelligent and to do intelligent things. And to, like she was just saying also, to be able to put something together that's intelligently done, and it tells people, you want to check this out. You want to get familiar with it. And you're not going to only see what I see. You're probably going to see something different than I see. And that's the name of the game, if I may say it like that. That's the objective that we're trying to reach. The people who hear, and they hear something that makes them want to do something with their life, about their life, with the world that we live in. We don't know the situation that people are in to be able to impact the world and impact the situation and maybe have a cure for cancer. But they didn't have the cure for, like we talked about earlier, self-esteem. And they didn't even know that they should. They're living with it. You know, they have the school reunions or the family reunions, and you get called this nickname that you never did like. Never wanted anybody to call. Everybody, when they call you that, everybody starts laughing. Who wants to go through that? It followed you all through your life. You're always going to be Noonie. So when you change your environment and you change your attitude about people and how they want to beat you down with some nickname or with some habit that you had or habit that you maybe still have. Maybe you're slow. Maybe you procrastinate. Maybe you whatever. when we come to the Creator and give our attention and give our submission, we're not dealing with those hurtful, harmful people who are ignorant and did those things. We're dealing with the Creator who wants you to heal yourself, get on with your life, and make a contribution that's lasting in spite of what the people thought, in spite of what the people said, that we gave too much power to, when because we said it before, we'll need to say it again because it is so true and it's so powerful. We give power to the outside forces greater than they should. You know, we used to try to sticks and stones and break my bones, but words will never hurt. We'll see, that's not true. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and words will do as much damage or more, especially if they're negative, especially if they're designed to be a put down. They're designed to get a laugh at your expense. They're designed to make fun of some of your body parts, your head, your hands, your lips, your hair, or your lack of hair. See, so that's what we went through. I know I did. I got to where I had to develop thick skin, but it didn't make it any less painful. You know, some of the stuff that we're told or said to us about different, like I said, could be your hair, could be good, but whatever. But when people are intentionally saying those things to get a laugh at your expense, or calling you a name, a degrading name, or expletive that they know is going to probably stay with you all day, all week. You know, I know when I got called the N-word, I mean, I was like, whoa. I mean, not only that they said it, but with the disgust and the hate that they had in their voice when they said it. I mean, like, I really, you know, don't, whatever, you know. And I don't know, as a intelligent or trying to be intelligent, common sense person, I'm like, what is causing that type of feeling, you know, causing people that I don't even know to say and do things about me, and they don't know me, you know? I was, like, confused, very concrete at what they were saying, very clear, you know? Why they had objections and what the objections was and what they thought. And then they published it, 3/5 of a human and yada, 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 IQ and bell curve and all kind of stuff. Tests that you had to take and you didn't make pass the test, so you didn't qualify for this, that, and the other. Everything designed to reduce to, When you don't glamorize, and you want to use that, you can demonize. That's one way of saying it. But there's other things that's going on with that racism and going on when you're being put down so you can lift other people up. That's the purpose of the put down. I can tell you something. I can say something to you that puts you down or puts you in place. And it's not necessarily to do that alone. It's also designed to lift myself up. See? That's the whole purpose of having you in the environment and in the condition that you're in. But what they don't realize, you got to jump down there with me. In order for you to think, feel, and exhibit that type of behavior and those kind of thoughts, they're not natural. They're not healthy. They're not loving thoughts that you can say, I wouldn't want my fellow human being to be hurt and spoken to in this manner, taking this from dignified to a lowly mold, to be told stereotypical things about themselves, to not be allowed to experience and expose to the whole world that's out there, that's healthy and hearty and wholesome. I prevented that. I stopped them from that. I made them feel that they weren't worthy. All in the name of I'm superior, I'm better. And look at you. You don't have this. I got this. You don't have that. You
And just so it'll turn on you. Look how many people are going out trying to get a tan, getting things to, Botox to get more hips and get bigger lips. Now, we can stand around and talk about all this for a long time and discuss how it can backfire. Now that it does. It backfires. Or we can say what the world needs now is not love, sweet love. Love, light, sweet light. See, it needs to shine light on your hatred, your racism, your need to put people down to lift yourself up. What does that? Why do that? When you realize that's not me, that's something influencing me. I'm this way when I got a chance to set my mind free, free my dome, get rid of stinking thinking. See? And really let humanity, that thing that God gave us all, my fellow human being. And it made me think about the wording that I was mentioning, and I didn't mention because I got sidetracked and I forgot it, so I don't want to do it now. Get sidetracked and forget. You hear these commercials, and they're reaching out and they're connecting and whatnot, and then right at the end, they say the magic words are the words that are so profound. And the reason that what I'm saying is power is because we have to do it together. Just listen to some of them. And listen when the ones who say that, they necessarily may not believe it, may not even be encouraging as much as we think they are. But they know for a fact that that is a part of the process. And in order to get what I'm trying to get over to the people, I'm going to use the language that will get it. I'm going to get them inside the door, and then I'm going to have them at my disposal to do whatever, because I'm using the language that gets them there. That's why it's very important that we educate ourselves and know the difference between someone who's trying to help us versus someone who's trying to hurt us. They want the glory that's coming to a certain people or a certain type that endured certain things are now getting empowered to get what was said. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Now, you don't think maybe necessarily we're going to take their place and we're going to get this, you know. No, it clarifies that. You can get that in any old Egypt. You're getting a chance, address a robbery, a lie. We were lied about, they were lied to. So to do the transformation and change that for them, where they're living a lie and we're living a lie, and we're not getting anywhere fast, because what do we need? We need to work on it together. You go and tell your people, hey, this is the teachable moment. So I know if the person who told me came, maybe you wouldn't listen. But I'm coming in our name, in our behalf. I got our concerns at heart. And I'm telling you, it's time for this stuff to stop. We can't undo what was done. Well, we can stop doing what we've been doing. Person flourish and grow like they were intended to. Get out of people's way. Don't do harm and try to hinder what people can do, because you don't want to realize, you don't want the truth to be known. I am not superior. I am not better. I am not as important as I claim to be. I am not worthy of being on every poster, every postcard, every book, everything. And next thing you read the print, and it just elevates, you know, above and beyond. Because not only are you saying that you're great, you're saying why you're great. There's certain body parts that I have. There's certain things that I do, certain things that I say that makes me better. Makes me, every now and then, some people come along and they do whatever. But most of the time, I'm at the top because that's where I deserve to be. And that type of elite, E-L-I-T-E. But when you take the T out, you got a lie. See? elitist type thinking is a lie. Somebody telling a lie. And somebody is stunting their growth. They're not going to grow with that lie. It may get you noticed, but it doesn't have the ability to sustain and maintain because it's a lie. And to get us into thinking the way we're thinking, to get us to thinking that we need to get this, to get the thinking, to get the benefit, to get the enjoyment, to get the debt that's owed to us because of what they did to us, delayed this and did that, boo, boo, boo. The debt gets paid, the power gets transferred when we get purpose in our life, when we get why in our lives. And we take on a moniker that says we owe each other. You owe you. You owe you to be better. You owe you to get the benefit of this out there that's waiting on you, the resources, the invitation to maybe share your leadership that's needed in the world. Really help women overcome some of the stuff by being the kind of woman that's needed in the world. We know if we stop and think where our strengths are at. Supporting or supportive is one of the strengths of the female. She can just make it feel so right, so necessary, so needed. And the way that she approaches it is not that cookie candy stuff. It's not the hot and bothered stuff. It's really a social mechanical or social mechanics and how the thing operates. When I can be a betterment to my family and I get the endorsement from my wife, let's go do this and then we can go do that. Let's get the message in our house that this leadership thing is dual. The ones that I can address, I address. The ones that you can address, you address. But it's all done in the name of family, in the name of unity, in the name of dignity. So once we really, really get that down, that formula down, we'll see the difference. And other people will see the difference because there'll be a stark difference between the way it was and the way that it is now. And it's not a need necessarily to go and celebrate just yet. It's a need to take the next step on the road to self-sustained community. It's very important that we understand that's a part of what we need to be doing. Because people got a lot to say and a lot to share and a lot to influence you with that will keep you, at the mercy. You know, we can still be out of slavery and still be in slavery because it's a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not the physical thing anymore. That's gone. We can see that clearly. But are we free mentally and spiritually? Can we honestly say that? And that we're getting into the point where we're not looking for others to do for us. We're going to do for ourselves in a way that leaves us sustaining self-sustainability. We're no longer going to people. People are coming to us. Just like they do with the Amish, just like they do with the Mormons, just like they do with the Jewish, just like they do with whoever's doing the thing they need to be doing as a community. And we can say, well, yeah, but they haven't had it happen, and then what happened to us? They haven't. That's what makes us different and unique. But it's not a crutch. It can't be. We can't make it our claim to fame. We got to do in proportion to what we've been given. For those that were given much, much is required. It's not like in the days when we didn't know. We were intentionally kept in the dark. We were kept out the loop. But what this last statement that I'm going to make, about the information age that's taking place right before our eyes. And there's things that we just didn't know. People who didn't know weren't necessarily telling us. And the ones who was telling us, they had an agenda where they are saying, you know everything I taught you, but you don't know what I didn't teach you. I'm saying it a little bit wrong, a little bit different from what it is. I see, let me stop and think for a minute. I can't remember, but that's a paraphrasing of it, that we were taught a certain way, we weren't taught everything that the professor knows. Of course, why? We didn't want the equality to reign supreme. They wanted to be in the power position. Because we haven't woke up to what it feels like, and some of us, if we be truthful, are a little fearful of what it would be back to take the leadership, to get in the driver's seat for your own destiny. You know the road, you know the lane, the labor, the destiny that you, the path, that's what I'm looking for. You know the path that you want to get on, stay on. And you know the purpose that it has for you. It has your name written all over. It has our name written all over it, as a group and as an individual. I am thoroughly convinced of Imam Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi's leadership and what he's supposed to be doing right about now. 2008, 16 years. Went fast. Can't believe it. I can see him and what he's saying and how he's saying it and what he's expecting after he says it or after he said it. And I've seen as time went on, he got aged. He had medical problems or physical problems or whatever. But you could see the human challenges that he was meeting and having to absorb with, I said that, I did that. And the key people who need to do what they need to do, they're not doing it on the level they need to do it. Because it's a climb. When you go upward, you need legs and lungs. And that's why sometimes when you're exercising, that lung be burning. It be hurting. It be, And you want to stop. And you can. You stop for the day, but get back in there the next day or the day after until you can get the burning to go away, until you can get the condition of the lungs and the leg to where the pain is not there. There's no pain, no gain. I mean, I understand that sounds good. And it's not about the pain. It's about overcoming our ability to be slowed or stopped because of the pain. Now, I may not be right with this particular thing, but it says it, toil and struggle. Now, that's the English. But it does say, and this is the truth, and I'm going to go and check on this brother Mark and that. But in order for me just to stand up like I'm doing now, it took effort to get out of what I was offered and stand up erect. Not shoulders slumping and pouch, pooch, stomach, no. Stand up erect and assume the position of comfort, no extreme, not too far to the right, not too far to the left, looking forward to the next day, the next challenge, the next victory to be had because you passed the test. You defeated the challenge. And you know that after you got that one defeated, there's another one coming. The tests don't go away because we think, well, I'm good now, right? You don't decide that. We don't decide that. What becomes needed is what Malcolm said. He said, don't ask for less problems, ask for better skills. See? Some of the stuff that we are giving power to shouldn't be that way. With what we've been given over the 30-some-odd years, I think that's what it is, 23 or something like that. It's 40. Yeah, so 20-some-odd years, I think, we want to call it. But that's not the numbering and the counting, and that's not necessary. The point I'm saying, the transitional and transformational information that we were given, that took us out of those triple darkness that we were in and into a position to really stand firmly on what was said and see other people who are adapting it and putting it to use and to benefit, when it doesn't have to be presented like some kind of black mystique or something. But for those of us who were there and we heard and we saw and we read and we studied and we're still reading and studying, it's not without a price or an obligation. We didn't get it to not share it, to not give it an opportunity to do in our life, in somebody else's life. Do what it's doing in our life and see how it would be when it's in somebody else's life. What's different? I mean, we were held back. We were almost anything you can name that happened to us. What happens to us is now a need to not let anybody have to go through being denied equality, you know, to be shown appreciation, to be properly compensated, and on and on and on and on. But where does it stop? I mean, where does it start? It starts with self-awareness, self-esteem, feeling worthy, giving ourselves a permission slip. Those are the things that are necessary to embrace and really have been empowered by what Allah gave to Imam Muhammad to give to us, which then turns around and we give it to the world. Not this freebie, you know, love me now and, you know, no, not that. An opportunity for people to see an example of what it is when you put God's word, his will, his way in front of whatever you do. Make it a priority. Make it, check yourself to see if you're doing that. And see what's, if you're not doing it, see what's getting in the way of it. So, it's kind of like you got your homework, you know. But it's always going to remain that way. We have to show what we know and let people know, you know, by our behavior that things have changed for the better. I think we should add that to it because it's more important. It's easy kind of to change. I mean, the weather's going to change. The date's going to change, you know. The life thing's going to change, you know. It's not going to be Monday. It's going to be Tuesday tomorrow, you know. The weather's going to be different, et cetera, et cetera. So those changes are coming. But those changes should help us to value and know the value of change and be consistent and do a little bit more each day than we did the day before. If we can do that, we'll be able to see the changes that we're talking about. We'll be able to remake our world so we can help remake the world. So I thank everyone for tuning in. I was going to check in there and see that 314 was my brother. Mm-hmm. He said, help me out here. We're going to proceed on with it without the help to stay, and it's not a problem. So we're going to do that. So I invite you all to be sure to tune in to the next program on Tuesday. I'm not sure, but oh yeah, I think it's Brother Rashid's program, and then Brother Mark's program. I think he does two programs that you know, that's marriage and parenting. And then, you know, you go Friday, I think Mikhail during the Juma. And then there's another program that he does on Friday, Roundtable, I think it is. And then Sunday, I think, you know, I'm not sure the words make people, if I'm not too sure, but that, there are many good worthwhile programs, is what I'm saying, to listen in, to go into the archives and et cetera, and listen for what you think you need to hear. You know, it don't necessarily be what I'm saying, but something that I'm saying was like, whoa, that's it for me. It's just like he's talking to me, you see. When you can see that and say that, then see 7173, then you can relate to what I'm saying. See, and like the sister that's coming on, like she said, then you can get people invited. You can feel comfortable doing that. But more importantly, it's really this inside job of us working on ourselves so that we can be the best self that we can be. That's going to complement whatever I'm doing automatically. Because if I'm doing it and you're doing it, it's going to get done better, stronger, longer. Okay, and say, Sister 773. Oh, hold on. Didn't get that right. Yeah, 773.
Yes, sir. I was going to help you out with that agenda for the program. Let's see. Your program is on Mondays at
6 o'clock.
For the rest. I'm sorry. Oh, 6 o'clock Eastern.
6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, Eastern, and ours is at 5 o'clock Central.
Right.
On Tuesdays, Brother Rashid and Brother Abdul Shahid's program on health and science.
Okay.
That's at 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern. And then they are in an hour, and then Rashid has another aspect to his program on finances and wealth. Might not be put in context, but that's for Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Mark program, Parent Learning Lab, that
mm-hmm.
comes on 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. And then he has a round table that follows that. I believe it's at the next hour after. So he asks people not to hang up.
Can you mention that Pacific time? I think it's 3 hours difference. I know with the Eastern. But
I think it's 2 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah, it was 3 hours for Eastern. So I think it would be 2 hours, I guess, for
Pacific. So that'll put it at about, what, 3 o'clock, I believe?
I'm not sure. I usually... But I just wanted to make sure that people realize that there's a time difference. I'll get the information before me the next time so I can, you know, really know. Go ahead.
You know, Thursday courtship and marriage program that comes on mm-hmm. at 6 o'clock Central. I mean, it's 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern, and that's been run for 2 hours to sometimes 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Friday, Juma, Brother Mikhail Fahir. I think he's on Eastern time, so they would have to kind of find out what his time frame is. But I just wanted to let you know it was like the one down Monday through Friday. So,
No, okay. Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Okay, thank you.
With my son. Hey. You know, once again, it's an opportunity for me to say what I said earlier and for us to hear it. With the importance that it has, we get through this by putting each other and working together. You know, it's how it's done. You know, when we see other people doing it, it's because that's what they're doing. You know, and they realize it. It's in their culture. It's a part of what they do. It's the traditions. You know, I was in New Mexico and I heard this term I'm finna say so many times because it was their rallying cry. It was how they got together and got everybody nervous because the immigrants were coming and they were getting more advantage of this country because they read that thing that says land of opportunity. And they got the cheering lead and the way that it united. Viva la raza. You know, Chicano. That's what they were back in the day, Chicano power. Now, they Latin for me, that's whatever. Somebody's doing the naming and whatnot and everything. But that spirit that they bring to the situation, hard work, ain't never killed nobody. And they work together, you know. You can see them like where I live next door. Not next door, but about, let's say three doors down or so. I've counted on a good day 7 cars over there. Just looking at the outside of the house, I would guesstimate that it's about a 3-bedroom max. So let's just say 2 people per car. Sometimes it'll be more or less. That's 14 people living in that house. With the time, space, and whatever they need, and they're making it work. And once one gets on their feet, move out and start the same system somewhere else. And they found that chain link type of thing, chain link thinking, usually you get a truck, get a place to live, invite a couple of people over to live with you, and don't be trying to have no filet mignon, chateaubriand, ribeye, you know. Eat like you are trying to get ahead and get on top of things and get in a position to do something for yourself and by yourself, but start out with somebody else. And this is not I'll do it for a little while, but and then we got bad words, we got ill spirit, a harsh spirit about one another. We got to get that out of there and get with people who are like you and who you can whatever, but do it for the objective, which is the bigger picture. We have to get on our feet in a way that is sustaining and it gets the job good enough, well enough done that we see the progress of the result of it. And yes, it's going to be generational. It's going to be hard for people to buy that, but it doesn't take but a few. Last thing, that's why you see in the social medias and on the books and whatnot how David defeated Goliath. And they got a modern day version of it. And I'm sure there's another one that could be written about it. But what it says essentially is that how many times has Allah or God defeated a big number of people with a small number of people? Giving us the hint, it's never going to be a big crowd, a big load of people, and it doesn't take a big load of people. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. It takes the confidence that you have because you develop the ability to compete, you know. So it's a lot out there. And I don't want to get started again, but I mean, we got our work cut out for us. And if each one will reach one, each one will teach one, then we'll get there. And we'll get there in a way that looks very civilized, looks very dignified, and it looks like we are the business of doing what we have been fighting the opportunity to do. So I greet you with the greetings, the only peace that Allah can give. Assalamu alaikum. And I thank you for your attendance and your participation. And we'll see you next time, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum.